Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with the lovely Allison. Hey Allison.
Hi everyone.
So today we're going to kick off our first episode of the Healthy Head, Healthy Heart series. So once a month, we're going to try to cover off on topics about maintaining a healthy heart and mind. So everything from postpartum health to fostering healthy relationships. And I'm really excited about today's topic because we've got some special guests here with us, Karen and Laura. Today's topic is going to be Lady Camp and the importance of female friendship. So we've talked about Lady Camp before in previous episodes, but now we are joined by our Lady Camp quad. So Laura and Karen, thank you so much for joining us. And before we do your introductions, what are we drinking today, Allison?
So as always, we are starting off the episode with a cocktail. And this one, we actually had folks vote on Instagram to figure out what we should serve because we couldn't serve just anything for you ladies. We had to do something great. And so this is a sage grapefruit mimosa. And it's sage muddled with grapefruit and then a brut rosé on top. And it is as beautiful as it is delicious. So you guys have to tell me if you agree. But cheers to today's topic.
Cheers.
Lady Camp and female friendship. So tell me what you think.
Ooh, you can hear it. It's bubbling.
It's bubbling and pink
very
and beautiful.
Good.
It is just
delicious.
Like all over the place with senses and delicious. The smells, the sounds.
Thirst quenching.
Yes. So yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I thought we'd get started with some introductions.
Absolutely.
If that would work. So you guys, of course, know Larissa and myself, but Karen, you want to give us a brief overview of who
Hi.
You are?
Hi, I'm Karen. I work with Larissa and Allison. We've obviously become good work friends and even better life friends. And I'm excited to be here on the Crunchy Cocktail Hour. I'm very attracted to the cocktail of the part of the Crunchy Cocktail Hour. I'm not sure how crunchy I actually am. I'm excited to talk maybe a little bit more about that. But I do yoga. I'm actually a registered yoga teacher and enjoy hiking in the outdoors. So that's a little crunchy.
It's definitely
a crunchy part of me.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm really excited about is that, you know, we're really into the products and all of that around being crunchy, but both Laura and Karen kill us in the fitness aspect of things.
Yes,
so
for
Karen
sure.
Karen with her yoga, and then Laura just does everything you do.
Laura with the everything but yoga, I think. Right?
I think that's a rule.
Accurate.
I think on the test you crossed out yoga where you could.
Oh, we will get to that.
Namaste, Laura.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, good segue, Laura. You want to introduce us to yourself?
So I'm Laura. Work with Karen, Larissa, and Allison. I was fortunate enough to be put on a project with them at work, and chatting about work turned into chatting about life.
Thank you for saying fortunate.
Yeah, so chatting about work turned into chatting about life, and now I have three new close friends that I'm super psyched about. As I mentioned, fitness is probably the only aspect that I would classify as crunchy. Don't really cook at all, let alone healthily. But I do clean really well, and I don't know if the products are crunchy or not, so maybe I can find out more about that when we talk today. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So like we mentioned, we met at Lady Camp we met at work and then Lady Camp grew out of that. So, we ended up sitting in a quad of cubicles. So that's where we ended up calling ourselves the quad. But there's actually a fifth member who's not able to join us today. We love you, Jody.
Yes. Cheers to Jody.
Cheers to Jody, definitely. So there were four of us, and then poor Karen was always sitting a little bit far away where she'd hear giggling and run over so she could participate in the conversation. So she's our quad goals extension, but we love her as if she's not an extension. She's actually part of the
quad. Don't have fun without me. Thank you.
So what grew from that is we were trying to figure out a way that we could hang out outside of work on like a weekend away.
Yes.
And so this Lady Camp came up.
Yeah. I think Karen and I separately read an article on some online newspaper. And I remember coming in and you were near my cube and I said, oh my gosh, I saw something. I know exactly where we should go. And you literally finished my sentence. And I don't know how you knew exactly what I was talking about. You knew exactly what I was talking about.
I know you didn't
even
give it context, no. But I knew it was a women's retreat. There was going yes. to be yoga and meditation and healthy eating
yes.
and female friendship, yeah. and it was perfect what we were
And we talked
for.
To everyone about it, and it was this kind of like, wait, are we serious? Are we doing this? Are we... And then it turned into like, okay, well, if you buy your ticket, I'll buy my ticket.
Who was the first person to actually put their credit card in?
I think it was you. And I was last because I had to email them about like, hey, I can only eat air. Can you serve me air? And they could...
Sort of.
But the best part is it was an outdoor camp and it was May, right? So we were expecting beautiful lake trips, going out on boats. It was like 40 degrees is being generous and rainy the entire weekend. It
yes.
was freezing
and
cold.
And we were staying in cabins with no heat, like where kids stay for summer camp every year. So there's nothing.
I think
it was
still cold.
Bonding experience.
Yes.
It was going to go one way or the other
yes.
and it was great.
It was for sure a bonding experience.
It was.
It was good enough that we're going back, right?
Totally. We are, for sure.
Yeah.
And we're calling this Lady Camp, so we're on a little bit of an excursion this weekend just to the beach in October. So apparently we like going places that are meant to be outdoors when it's cold.
Unseasonably.
Well, it's unseasonably warm. It's perfect.
Although you might be hearing this in November, so it'll sound even crazier. So we're on our next Lady Camp excursion, so we thought it made sense to talk through some of this. But prior to having the girls join us in the podcast, we had them take a quiz. Mm. This has been the most divisive thing of our entire friendship.
Contentious.
I thought this would be just a friendly, fun quiz. No, I was wrong. This is not a friendly
I did not like it.
It's very uncomfortable.
I send it to them and I get an email back from Karen that says, and I quote,
no.
I sort of hated this quiz.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend the quiz. I just like to either win or excel at every yeah. test I take, and I feel like I may have failed your quiz.
But there was no right
There's
or wrong
no
answer.
Right or wrong.
All right. All right.
There
right.
was no right or wrong. And Laura, how did you feel about the quiz?
I didn't understand what the words in some of the answers. I don't know what GMO is, so I didn't even know what I was selecting or not selecting.
And did you always answer the questions that were provided?
No, I wrote in my own answers. even though I was not invited to do so.
Laura, that's very unlike you.
You follow directions.
Follow rules. This one.
I know. Yeah,
this one really put you over the edge.
So I was uncomfortable.
And just to reorient us, right, this is the quiz that Allison and I took for ourselves a couple of episodes ago to determine if we were crunchy, scrunchy, or silky.
Mm-hmm.
And based on your scores,
we'll tell
you where you fall. So crunchy is obviously kind of more my side of the spectrum, more organics,
okay.
more like really mindful. Silky is on the opposite side of the spectrum, is like, you don't care.
It's just not a priority.
It's just
which
not
one
a priority.
Is the best of the three?
I know you're trying to get there, but there isn't. And then we have scrunchy, which is sort of in the middle. And everybody falls, so the scores really come out on a range, so...
Hmm.
We're kind of so.
But
like, Allison,
what's the highest score?
Okay.
Okay.
You cannot win at this.
There is no winning. There's no winning in Lady Camp, just as there is no crying in baseball.
Laura, on the way here, when we were talking about this quiz, and they were telling me how much they really disliked it, Laura made it clear to me that she's an A student, so she wants to know what the answers are.
Yes. And I will say, of this group, you won in one of the directions. Do you want to guess which one?
So let's talk about, maybe reorient us to where you and I fell, and then let's talk about Karen and Laura.
We switched up the quiz a little bit from the one that we took a couple episodes for, and I think this was just fewer answers. So where Larissa fell is she's scrunchy going crunchy. So a little bit surprising, right? You'd expect her to be like smack dab in the crunchy. She's not. She's a little bit more scrunchy. And I am silky going crunchy.
Yeah.
I'm like right on the cusp.
Right. Yeah.
Right? It makes sense.
Yeah.
So how about you ladies? Where did you fall?
Yeah,
do you want to guess?
Where do you
fall,
Karen?
I think I'm probably right in the middle would be my guess. I think there are things about me that are crunchy and there are things about me that are silky, makes me laugh, that are not crunchy.
And Laura, where do you think you fell?
Definitely silky.
No ifs,
whatever that means.
So for 0 to 10 points, that means you're silky. 11 to 20 is scrunchy. And 21 to 30 is crunchy.
Okay.
Karen, you have 10. So you are right at the silky scrunchy line.
Okay.
Which is essentially where I fall.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
No, me neither. Laura, I had to really, really work at grading your quiz.
She made up her own answer.
There was A through D in the quiz that I provided. There was a lot of E's on yours. There was a couple where you answered A and E, which really threw me for a loop. So you had a 4.5.
Sounds about right.
Which puts you at the lower end of silky, which is where you thought you'd fall. Which is pretty funny. So, again, there's really no good or bad, but I thought it was like a fun way to orient.
So she got like a B at being silky.
Yes. And you got...
Her face right now, she's an A student, no, I told you. No. Can she get some extra credit?
Yes. How do you like the drink?
It's good.
All right, there we go. She got a 10.
Done.
10 out of 10. So what we want to talk today is about female friendships. So obviously we've formed a friendship in adulthood, which is hard to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you think about like your best friends, it's often family members or people that you met in high school or college, and like forming new, strong female friendships is difficult. So there's different types of relationships, but what I want to talk about first is sort of why they're important. And so we can all have different opinions on this. So the big one for me is that there's a difference between situational friends and those lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. And there's values to both. Do you guys have friends that are lifelong versus those that are situational? And, you know, does it vary for you in terms of whether or not that's what's important to you at different parts of your life?
I have a very good friend who tells me that I don't have acquaintances.
Oh,
you're either like super tight with me or... like truly not, you know,
I don't know you
at all.
No, and that makes it sound harsher than I mean to be, but like if you're in, you're in.
And
I
like
invest
it that
a lot
way?
Of time. I guess it's just how I operate. Like
you're all in.
I invest a lot emotionally and time wise, like in especially my female friendships. And I think part of it is living in a city where my family doesn't live. My friends have become my family. And I think not having kids, my husband and I have chosen to not have kids. And I think we have also sort of made, for that reason, like made our friends and their children our family as well. And so it just makes us really
close to them. I love that.
I do love that. And that's hard to do because it's a time investment in order to foster relationships and have them be something that's really important. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a big priority for us.
I love that we've made it into the
friends
and family.
Unless she thinks, you know, she doesn't know us.
Or right. I don't.
We're nothing. Yeah.
You're one or the other. I'll let you know. I'll let you know how you score on that quiz.
Oh, man. No more quizzes. So, Laura, how about you? Do you feel like most of your female friendships are kind of those lifelong? I know you and your sister are really close.
Yeah, so I grew up with an instant best friend.
Aww,
from that perspective. And we're very lucky, you know, for all sisters, it doesn't always happen that way, but we were very fortunate. Almost surprising, since we shared a room growing up, we were on all the same teams, shared a closet.
That's a challenge.
And it was that way consistently through life. Like, I know sisters sometimes have those like ups and downs, close and not close, but. Yep, we were always close. Like, I remember when we were younger, it used to be time to go to bed and we would stay up talking all night.
Aww.
So
what's the age difference?
We're only 21 months apart.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Really
so
nice.
We were,
oh my gosh, your poor mom.
Yeah, we were only a grade apart in school. So I was very fortunate. And I would say as I got older, I think I've grown to value quality over quantity and really invest in those friends that I have gotten really close with. So, and I think that it's the friends that I am close with, I think it's making it a priority to carve out the time and realize it's just important to be a friend, is have a friend. So I think that's been more apparent to me as I've gotten older into adulthood as well.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. It's that sort of all in piece. It's if I'm going to take the time to invest in a friendship, it's got to be something that's valuable and meaningful to me.
Yeah. And to kind of piggyback on all of that, like I feel like
I always want to be a good friend. I get like a lot out of it. Like I don't know. I pride myself on being a good friend. But as I've gotten older, as there have been things that have come into my life, like my kids and my husband and, you know, things that have taken up my time, I have gotten to this place where I've purposely let friendships go.
Yes.
That I knew weren't real and true and kind of adding to my life in positive ways. And I don't mean that to sound negative, but more so, there are some people who are like more takers than givers, mm-hmm. or some people who require a lot more of your emotional energy to maintain the friendship. And when it's not so simple, or it's not,
or healthy,
or healthy. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's a great word for it. And it's difficult to sometimes do that because you feel bad, but to that point of quality over quantity, I'm very much there. Like I'm not a friend collector. Like I don't need a million friends. I just need, like, I want everyone that I call my friend to be someone that I will call if I am in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And if maybe that's like my one thing, like if I will call you and tell you a problem and, or call you if I really need something, like you're my friend. If you're not, then you're probably my acquaintance, mm-hmm. and someone like I might like or enjoy in the right situation at a happy mm-hmm. hour or whatever it is. But I think to say like you are my friend like really means something
yeah.
to me.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
So how did we all become friends?
That's what I was just going to ask. So we're all so different.
Oh my gosh.
So yes. Completely different, and not just in, you know, way we live our lives, but our general personalities are so different. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure the moment I realized we were all going to be friends is when Larissa said something incredibly inappropriate, and Laura
was like
doing this like waving motion with her arms, yeah. trying to get
volume
her to
down.
Stop.
Which time?
all the time.
And I will like, so I will also say, so we all work at the same place. We've mentioned that. So Laura and Allison and Karen have all been there for quite a while. I joined the company maybe a year and a half ago or so. And I had been somewhere else for a very long time. And the company that I joined is smaller. So it's a lot more kind of like family tight atmosphere, mm-hmm. with a lot of friendships. And I didn't feel like myself for a really long time. And there was... And it didn't feel good, right? And I didn't feel like I was really connecting with anybody. And for me, like, the relationships at work are so important. It's like half of what makes me happy during the day. But I just had this light bulb. I don't know if it was day or night one night. And I was like, that's it. I'm just going to be myself.
I remember that day.
Take it or leave it.
I saw the change.
And there was something about that I felt like brought me close to people, mm-hmm. or made people interested, I guess, in some way. And it felt good for me because I felt myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it felt good because it was at that moment where I started to make the bonds, when I was just 100% mm-hmm. authentic me.
And I actually think that's one of the things that brought us all together, is that even though we're all so different, we're so authentically who we are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we're the same person in the office as outside of the office. And there was like a moment at Lady Camp. Lady Camp does sound ridiculous. I'm going to laugh every time I say it. But there was like a moment at Lady Camp where I was like, the walls, any walls that were there are down. And I really feel like we had really good conversations and just really got to know each other. But I think that's one of the things that drew us together, is everybody was just open and honest and authentic and down for a laugh, which is the highest priority of friendship for me.
And I think we got there really fast.
Yes.
Larissa, I credit you a lot with truly like bringing that wall down and just being authentic and transparent and fun and goofy and inappropriate.
I mean, everybody could get together on the fact that they were embarrassed by me.
Sure. That was definitely
was our bonding.
Again, at work.
Myself all the time.
Open office environment.
But I think it happened really quickly, and it was really only a few months later. So we'd been working together for a while, but we sort of connected then. And then it was a few months later that we went to this women's retreat that we like to call Lady Camp. And truly, like, all of a sudden, weren't in blazers and work clothes. We were in like no makeup, you know,
for raising holes.
Yeah, like bundled up in our pajamas in our sleeping bags together.
I want to caveat, we were in separate sleeping bags.
Sorry. But in the same bunk.
This is a family friendly show.
In the same cabin in the children's camp. It was the cutest thing.
It was really cute.
You know, in our little beds, in our little sleeping bags, and bundled up and just having like really real conversations. No makeup, no products, no, you know, just really truly authentic and transparent.
Yeah. Being invited to meditate.
So much meditation.
And it helps that we snuck in wine.
That does help.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It does help.
Yes. Do you know that anytime we talk on the podcast about a situation where Allison can't eat, she just recommends drinking your food?
It's true.
So in that situation, it seems also appropriate, right? Because you could not eat anything, so.
So I drank my dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a healthy thing to suggest.
We're not suggesting that on the Couch Cocktail.
Interesting. I read this article that said one of the healthy benefits of female friendships is actually the release of oxytocin, which doesn't happen in male friendships. Mm. So there's like an actual physiological response to female conversation and female friendships that men don't have. All the men in our lives have great relationships. They probably go on bro trips, but it's a completely, they probably release testosterone because they're drinking beer and like cursing and doing whatever they do. That is so stereotypical. I take that back. But there's actually a release. So one of the things that I want to talk about is the benefit to romantic relationships when you have really strong female friendships. Mm. And so the balance of spending time with a spouse or a boyfriend and your female friendships. Mm. So I think that from my perspective, getting away on these vacations where I can like chat with you guys, let my hair down, not be worried about being a mom or being a wife is really important to me. But are you finding the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm really lucky. My husband has a lot of respect for my female friendships and sort of the time that I want to invest there. And I think he sees the difference. Like, I will go back home tomorrow and be so energized and so happy, and I will have a million stories to share with him, most of them hilarious. And, you know, he gets it. Like, it's just it's very soul fulfilling for me. Yeah. And happy wife, happy life. So,
yeah. Oh, I love it.
Supportive. Yeah.
And I think... for me, I still notice that I will miss my husband on these trips. Mm. And sometimes it's just nice to miss somebody. But I find the biggest thing for me, and it's outside of romantic relationships, like when I am here with you guys, I'm not a consultant. I'm not a mom. I'm not a wife. I'm just completely removed from responsibilities. And I'm just like, I'm me without responsibilities. And I don't know how to describe that, but it takes me back to a much younger me that's not me with all this stuff. And that feels very freeing and very light.
There was no schedule today.
Yeah.
We did whatever we wanted.
Yeah. I don't have to be at work. I don't have to make sure I wash dishes. I don't have to make sure I do anything that I'm supposed to do on a day-to-day basis.
And I arrived at about 10 o'clock and they were still in their PJs. So they adhered to that no schedule thing.
That is true. No judgment.
So like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, it is a little bit hard to build and maintain friendships in adulthood, especially because there's work, there's romantic relationships, there's kids, there's just being an adult human. So I want to talk to some of our tips for building friendships. So I think we did a really good job of building and fostering this relationship and like we said, Larissa, you really kicked us in the butt to go away and build this friendship. But what are some recommendations or things that have worked for us in terms of building friendships? So one of the things I want to talk about is tapping friends of friends. So, often you'll be invited to dinner parties or weddings or, this group, and you can potentially just meet somebody and do the awkward, "Are we a friend match?" Can we hang out? And that's worked for me a couple times. There's always going to be people that you have a good connection with and you can sort of bring into your inner circle.
Wait, do you really say that? Can we be a friend match? I mean, I think it's really sweet.
I'm awkward on a regular basis.
That's adorable. So, yeah. That's really sweet. If someone said that to me, I couldn't say no.
Actually, it was my mom that taught me that. When we moved to the States, she had a lot of trouble finding girlfriends. And so she would go on mom dates mm-hmm. and just like walk up to people with like bottles of wine and be like, can we be friends? And like
aww. Have this wine. You know what? I've seen this a lot in like little Facebook groups that I belong to. And I see it a lot with moms who have kind of maybe fallen out of touch with girlfriends because maybe they're like in a different place than someone else's. And they'll say like, I'm a mom. I swear I'm really fun. I'm looking for friends. Yeah. And people will comment and they'll somehow just like get together for like a date in the park or a coffee date or something. And I would imagine that like out of that couple of people click in some way and then maybe they'll do that again. And, yeah. But I think it's one of those things that like, I think it's more people than you think that are looking for that. And I think as a person, you might feel kind of like, am I a loser? Because I feel like I don't have friends or enough friends or I want more. But I think a lot of people feel that way.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Laura, you and I don't have kids, and so I don't know mm-hmm. if you feel the same way, but it seems from the outside that being a mom, it looks easier to make friends with other moms who have kids. Like, you just seem to be thrown into situations where it's easier.
Or there are more people of similar age,
but see, I feel like anytime I get together with, like, someone new, maybe, that I'm trying to, like, get to know, we're just chasing our own kids, and yes. we've spoken four words to each other.
Yes.
So,
no quality.
There is no quality yeah. of that time.
And it's the situational versus lifelong thing.
True.
Yes.
Right?
True.
You know, the situational mm-hmm. friend, it's, oh, is Johnny going to this kindergarten or whatever? It's more talking about what's happening in that moment than like building those bonds of friendship.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so it's definitely a very different sort of friendship. Yeah. I'd say.
My best tip is just immediately cry in front of someone.
I mean, that's your authentic self.
And if they accept it and they're nice to you, you're best friends. And if they're weird about it, never see them again.
There you go.
And switch jobs.
Remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah. Well, another one that you did that kind of brought us together is like just scheduling the dinner, scheduling the coffee, scheduling the get together. Because how often do you run into somebody and you're like, we totally have to get together. Yeah. It's been so long. And
but usually I'm lying. I don't mean it.
So everybody that she said that to, she doesn't want to hang out.
No, now you know, because I actually scheduled the things aww. Rather than saying it.
So you guys know that I usually have like half a story or half an anecdote
yes.
when I tell something.
Yes.
So this will fit the bill. I remember reading
somewhere.
An article or in some magazine a couple years ago that I don't remember the details of, but the gist of it was talking about how to make and sustain a new relationship, in particular, a new friendship. And what the article basically said is, it's valuable if you can find a way to hang out more than once in succession so that you can continue
oh,
a
nice.
Conversation.
Oh.
You can capitalize on a friendly encounter. So don't just meet up for coffee and then let it languish 6 months until you get together with the person again. Try to find a reason, whether it's coffee, whether it's a friendly text a couple days later. The follow-up starts a pattern and it's the beginning of a habit. So I know that's hard to do, but I think text or like follow up on a funny conversation or something, I think it's a way to do it when you don't always have the time to get together.
I love that. And I always just try to, if I see something that reminds me of somebody, I'll be like, oh, cool, that reminded me of X, Y, and Z. And then I'll just try and remember to text them. And it's those quick, like, I'm thinking of you. And like, I'm making this sound like I'm trying to date my girlfriend.
No, but it is. I literally was just thinking that it is. It's a little bit like dating, and you have to do that kind of momentum thing at the beginning in order to get to this place where the person knows enough about your life that it's just, like, you're just friends.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a flirtation, and I think it's actually really sweet. Yeah.
It is. So the other one that I think we mentioned that Larissa also did to bring us together. God, there's a theme.
You're good.
Here.
You're good.
You're welcome.
But it is cut the BS, essentially. Mm. Like, get real as fast as you can. It's a family-friendly show. I can't say the real word. But cut the BS. Like, get real fast. Because if you honestly have a connection with somebody from a friend perspective, they're going to accept you like that. And if you don't want it to be a surface level friendship, then don't be surface level. Just get real, be honest with who you are, and cut the BS.
I like that.
I think that's your tenet in life for all.
I don't know how to operate at like a small talk level.
I don't like it and I'm not good at it. And I truly have a want to get to know people. And so I become almost like, a expanded version of myself where I like tell them a lot about me in the hopes that they'll tell me a lot about them and I'll really get to know them quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's backfired on me sometimes. I mean, I've definitely seen people be like,
you make me uncomfortable.
This is too much for me. And so, you know, that person's not for me and I'm not for them. And that's okay. And it does. The whole time we're talking about this, it really makes me think of dating. It's kind of like trying people on, seeing what works. Like, are they your type of person? Do you have things in common? Are they interested in making a new friend? Like, will they make time for you? There's just like so many things, and it is. It's very much like dating.
And just as uncomfortable sometimes putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be like, I think you're awesome, let's be friends. And the other person to be like, no thanks, no new friends, I'm good. It's uncomfortable, but you really do have to put yourself out there.
There's something about the vulnerability. You know, I think we were all working on a project together at work, and we loved the project, but it was also really hard. And I don't think any of us admitted to each other that we were having a hard time with parts of it. And again, sort of crediting Larissa, I think you finally sort of like threw up the red flag and...
I'm having a terrible time.
I hope it wasn't that bad. But then I think that allowed all of us to sort of, you know, put down our shields and say, gosh, you know, even though I'm putting up this front that I know what I'm doing or that it's easy or that, you know, everything is fun and great, I think it allowed us all to sort of admit like, yeah, this is hard. Let's figure it out together. And that really brought us quickly
together. And having someone
to
commiserate with is, I mean, that's a great way to pull people together, right?
Yeah.
Like a shared experience, positive or negative, and... you now have that, and that kind of leads off and spawns other conversations that then kind of keeps things going.
Yeah.
So one of the other tips is like letting those situational relationships fade if it doesn't feel authentic anymore. So I think oftentimes when we have a friendship that is situational, we try to hold on to it even when maybe it's not right or it's more difficult than it is fun without it letting it be a friendship breakup. Have you guys ever had a situation where it turned into a friendship breakup?
Yes.
Yes.
It's tough. It's as heartbreaking as a guy or a romantic partner breaking up with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's one of those things where maybe it was a logical time for the relationship to split, but, you know, it can be awkward and it can be difficult. And I think it's figuring out how to let the relationship fade or handling it in a responsible way without letting feelings get hurt.
Right.
Because it's okay to not have friendships continue. It's just making sure that it happens in a way that is kind to both parties.
Yeah. And I think figuring out, even when you recognize it and know that something has to change, kind of figuring out what the right path is based on the situation, right? Is it one of those things where like, I'm just going to stop calling, or I have to have a discussion with somebody where they understand where I'm coming from, or, you know, like whatever it may be. I think figuring out how you remove yourself from that situation can be tough.
Did you bring Laura and I here to break up with us?
I wanted to do it in this beautiful place.
We'll always have Lady Camp.
I'll always be Lady Camp. So then the last one on the list is be there for the big moments and mark the small. And I think we already touched on this. It's sending those quick text messages. Obviously the big moments, you know, weddings and birthdays and things, being there for those. Any other ways that you just sort of reach out, do those small reach outs to your friends to keep the relationship alive?
I mean, the text chain that the four of us have going is fantastic.
It is.
And it ebbs and flows, but it's like a great connection because we're not all working on the same project. We're not seeing each other every day anymore,
right?
But we still have old memories that we are referencing and we're making new memories even though we're not together every day. I love our text chain, and it's just a sweet little bright moment in my day every time it pings.
And I love that.
I love having closet consultants on the go. I can just send you, guys, does this work? Nope.
One of my favorite things to do is, you know, like days are busy and you're thinking about 100 things at once. When I have those moments where I think of someone, and maybe just because I haven't talked to them in a while, or maybe someone that I talk to every day. Like if I think of them in that moment, I try to do something with that. So I'm a big fan of very randomly sending a friend, again, even if I talk to them every day, a card that says like, I'm really proud of you for something that you recently did.
Card in the mail?
Yeah, a real card in the mail. Really like, sweet. You are a great mom. Or aww. Or I know you're having a tough time. Or, like, whatever it is. Like, sometimes it's just I thought of you today, and so I'm going to do something. And it could be, it doesn't even have to be a card. I've done that in the past. But it could just be a text message that just says, like,
thinking about you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about you, or I love you, or it's been too long, or whatever it is. Like, I just, when I think of it, I try to do something with it.
It's really sweet.
And, like, on the flip side, just thinking about, so my best friend recently, and this was just the other day, she was off because she works in a school district, and so they were off for Columbus Day. And she stopped by my daycare and dropped 2 little heart-shaped cookies off for my kids. So it had nothing to do with me.
Wow.
I mean, it was about me and about us, but she thought of them and did something for them, which meant the world to me. So one of my biggest tips is, like, when you think of someone, like, do something. Even if it's so small, like a text, it means a lot to people. I know it means a lot to me to get something really like sweet. That. So I like to do that for others.
I love that.
That makes me want to be a better friend. That's a really nice move.
Are you trying to work for a card?
I'll bring your children cookies if that's what it takes.
We should make that our goal. We'll do a separate text and we'll, like, try to compete for who can get a card from Larissa first. Good luck, guys. Game on.
I really would, like, I would encourage you guys, like, for those of you listening and, like, you guys, like, think of someone that maybe you haven't talked to in a while, or think of somebody that, you know, has done something really great in the past, or, like, in the past couple weeks or something, and acknowledge them in some way. Like, do it right now. Like, who do you, like, think about who you think of when I say that, and just do something.
Love it.
Oh, no, I want to go text everyone.
I have also done a group text. Like, I've done that before, too, where I, like, go through my phone and I send I love yous to certain people.
Aww.
So.
All right, so lesson of the day. Larissa's a really good friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She brought us together. Yeah. She's a good friend.
I tried.
We love you.
Brought us together, kept us together.
Yes.
Very sweet.
I love it.
Yeah. So just to go back here, so female friendships, I believe, are absolutely critical to health. In I think, all of our opinion based off the conversation today, but, you know, physiologically, too, that release of oxytocin
is important.
That's
such an interesting point.
I think it's
so fascinating. I want to read more about it now.
Mm. I've got some articles. I'm going to post them in the show notes.
Perfect.
But, you know, they're critical to health. I think even in romantic relationships, having an outlet of female friendships is important. I think, you know, balancing things like work and stress with making time to truly belly laugh with your girlfriends is just
there's good nothing for you. Like a good laugh.
It's
good. Oh my
for
gosh.
You. And cocktails with friends. I mean,
yes.
Don't get me started.
Yes.
But I think the truth is that when you move, if you're in a new work situation, it's tough to make female friendships, and it's especially tough to make friendships after college. Because in college, all you need to do is drink together and you are besties.
Yes.
That's all it really took.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit harder in life because your friends are typically situational, whether or not be like we were talking about with kids, being work friends, but it's putting yourself out there, making the effort, and, you know, dating to be friends, apparently, and making your friends really uncomfortable. That's the name of the game. So definitely devoting time to making those friendships and thinking about friends and doing those kind of, like, quick hit thinking about
yous. And on the flip side, knowing that or recognizing which friendships you want to put that time into and letting go of the ones that are keeping you from those people, the people that are really, really important and the people that you want to invest your time in.
Yeah.
So, guys, you can find any articles that we mentioned. I know, Allison, you're going to post the article around the oxytocin in our show notes at crunchycocktailhour.com.
We've got another episode coming for you next week, next Friday, so please definitely check that out. And of course, you can find our cocktail of the day, which was what was it called, Allison?
This is a grapefruit sage mimosa.
Perfect. So it'll be on Allison's blog, silverlineandwine.com, as well as our Pinterest account at crunchycocktailhour.com. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yes.
Thanks,
this
ladies.
Is so
thanks.
Fun.
This
we're gonna do some face masks, have more cocktails, enjoy the rest of our weekend, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Cheers to friendship.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.